Did you know that inside your body right now is a medicine that can effectively treat over 100 so-called untreatable diseases? Inside each one of us is the most powerful medicine ever known to man. From the time that we are born, we all have what are called adult stem cells. I prefer a more accurate term, repair stem cells, because that is what they are, that is what they do, and that is what they keep doing. Great doctors from all over the world are now using repair stem cells to save and improve lives. Heart patients who were told to go home and die are now regularly jogging uphill. The symptoms of Parkinson's patients are being reduced. Blind children are slowly gaining some sight. Autistic children are taking a step back toward normalcy. Some paralyzed patients who were told that they would never walk again are walking again. And this is merely the beginning of the greatest medical science in the history of the world. I'm Don Margolis of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, and we want you to have all of the information about this amazing field of medical self-repair. This information could just save the life of someone you love. Well, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Don Margolis, all excited and ready to go with more subjects than I can count today. So let's start with about 10 minutes on the embryonic stem cell hoax so you'll understand it. 5 years ago, the world's number one stem cell scientist for spinal cord injury patients, Dr. Carlos Lima, invited me to come to Greece and talk about this subject, which I did. And Mr. Engineer.
American Don Margolis is on a personal odyssey. He's come to Kefalonia, Greece, a place close to Homer's Odyssey. While Ulysses fought mythical creatures, Don is fighting deadly embryonic stem cell myths. His weapon is the truth, the adult stem cell truth, that adult stem cell treatments are helping with over 100 diseases right now. More embryonic researchers are coming out and admitting that embryonic stem cells will not be ready to help anyone for decades. And that's just too long for Don Margolis to wait. So he has come to Greece to announce the formation of a new public service company that is dedicated to educating the public about the amazing abilities of adult stem cells. He's here at the third annual Spinal Cord Injury Symposium at the invitation of Dr. Carlos Lima, a neurologist, that is helping paralyzed victims walk again using adult stem cells and massive rehabilitation.
My name is Don Margolis. In 2003, I started the first company in the world to treat end-stage heart patients with adult stem cells. Our scientists are in Israel. Our patients are treated in Thailand. As of now, just over 300 have been treated, and 75% of them had their quality of life improve. We could never have done it in America. America is one of the world's poorest countries when it comes to stem cells. America is the Bangladesh of stem cells. Why? A recent poll indicates that 75% of Americans believe that all stem cells come from embryos. 20% either haven't heard of stem cells or don't know where they come from, and 5% know that adult stem cells exist. In other words, embryonic stem cells get publicity and only publicity, and no one knows that adult stem cells get results. Therefore, I have, only 1 month ago, created a public service company with the mission of educating Americans about the miracle of adult stem cells. It's called the International Center for Adult Stem Cell Education. Why have embryonic researchers been failing, and why will they continue to fail to find a therapy in the next decade to match what adult stem cells are doing in 2008? It's a surprisingly easy to explain question. There are only two facts you need to know. Fact one, adult stem cells are in the body to provide medical self-repair. The reason that adult stem cell researchers are improving thousands of lives for almost every disease and medical condition known to man, that it is relatively easy to train an adult stem cell to do what it was born to do, repair. And when they repair what they were sent to repair, they stay there and they reproduce. Two, embryonic stem cells are in the bodies for one reason, to make babies. The reason embryonic researchers always fail is they cannot accept that embryonic stem cells are fanatic in their desire to become babies. Good embryonic researchers can sometimes, with great difficulty and very high cost in time and money, train an embryonic cell to do what he or she wants it to do, such as improve the symptoms of Parkinson's. But no one can control the cell, that cell's impossible to stop desire to make a baby. They do not stay there and reproduce. As Dr. Lima might put it, there is no off switch on an embryonic stem cell. So it cannot be controlled, and the too frequent result is deadly tumors. Now you know more about stem cells than 95% of Americans. Thank you, Mr. Engineer. We're going to now make an explanation on this subject. Pharma, as we've told our listeners every week, makes $250 million a day selling mostly useless drugs to you, and your doctor has no idea about stem cells. So that when the drug company reps come around to your doctor, they give him material which is full of lies, saying stem cells can't do this, stem cells can't do that. For example, the biggest lie that they've made recently was that stem cells don't last more than 3 or 4 months when you're treating heart patients. And of course, every week, and I do mean every week, we give you a visit with somebody who was dying of heart disease years ago and is only too happy to tell you what he's doing now. But let's get on to a more specific subject. Don Margolis says embryonic stem cells are a fraud and a hoax, and that adult stem cells are the only thing that can help over 100 diseases right now. So what happens is people ask me, well, my doctor says they don't work. My doctor says they cause cancer. My doctor says I should continue taking those wonderful pills he's given me that keep making me sicker and sicker. How can you respond to that? And the answer is very simple. Your doctor lies, and 80%+ of your doctors lie because they don't know any better. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here, that they just don't know any better, and they say what they're supposed to say in order to save money and save you going off to somebody else and spending your money elsewhere for something that can actually help you. They don't care about that. They pretend they do, but they don't. And they keep giving you pills. And all the time, patients are being talked out of taking stem cells. So I'm going to give you one enormous piece of proof. And we're going to talk about clinical trials. There is a major website called www.clinicaltrials.gov, G-O-V. It's a government site put out by the American National Institutes of Health. And on it, if you register a stem cell, any kind of clinical trial, and I do mean any kind, and you do it properly and fill out the forms properly, you will get listed on this website. And at this time, there are a grand total of 145,000 clinical trials. Of course, since the drug companies have all the money, most of these clinical trials are bought and paid for by drug companies. However, if you put the word, the first thing you do when you go to that website is you see a search engine. That's the very first thing. You go into the search engine and you just enter the words adult stem cells. And that will tell you how many times the word adult stem cells appears on how many registered forms out of the 145,000. Well, the answer is about 3%, and 40,
500 of the listed clinical trials have the words adult stem cells in the record. Now, it's a search engine. It can't look at the very beginning and say these stem cells are being used in the clinical trial. But once you get familiar with this website, you can figure out how to narrow it down, and which we have done, and the number of stem cell clinical trials registered where they're actually using adult stem cells to treat the patients and make them better is 2,700. Now, the average cost of a clinical trial, you have to calculate how many patients are in the trial. Some trials are as little as 10. Some have as much as 50 or 100. So if you multiply the number of patients in that trial getting stem cells by $50,000, that ought to cover the cost per patient, because it's not only the stem cell treatment, which they have to spend money on, but it's more important is the follow-up, 3-month follow-up, 6-month follow-up, 1-year follow-up. That is what they're running the trial for, to see what happens after the stem cells. All that together runs $50,000. So if you have 30 patients in the trial, that trial is costing an estimated $1,500,000. And when you put down an average of only, conservatively, only 15 patients per trial, and multiply the number of trials, which is 2,700, by 15, and then multiply that by 50,000, you get approximately $2 billion being spent by doctors, hospitals, research institutions, what have you. They go out and they raise the money, or they have the money for the clinical trials. $2 billion are today, and that's, as we said, it's a conservative number, are today being spent to prove that clinical trials work on this disease or that disease, and that adult stem cells work. Now, somebody's putting up $2 billion, a lot of somebody's. And all the institutions, they are putting their reputations on the line. And they're going out there and doing these clinical trials with adult stem cells, which the liars at pharma and all the lying leading doctors, and they are all liars, say don't work. Stem cells are unproven. So you have to make a decision when your poor doctor, who's not allowed to hear any information other than what pharma says to him and what is reported in crooked journals like Nature, Science, and the New England Journal, which are crooked journals publishing negative information about adult stem cells and positive information about embryonic stem cells. So now let's say, okay, these guys say, well, embryonic stem cells are the future. After all, pharma owns the White House, and President Obama comes out and says, embryonic stem cells are the future, which is a humongous lie. No embryonic stem cells will ever be put into a patient unless it's treated over and over and over again to avoid the cancer and to avoid the rejection by the body's system, which is sitting there waiting to kill those embryonic stem cells because they are enemies just like viruses and bacteria are. But President Obama says so, and if you're liberal, boy, you believe him. He says embryonic stem cells are going to work, and your doctor says the same thing. And when you're dying of heart disease or you're dying of a lung disease, they don't care. They'll tell you, wait for the embryonics. So let's go see what's happening with embryonic stem cells. And you go right back to clinicaltrials.gov, and you put the word embryonic stem cells in there. And, well, are you going to get another 2,700 that are using embryonic stem cells? No, not quite. You're going to get 1,000? No, not yet. Well, how about 100? No, I'm afraid not. You're not going to get 100 clinical trials under embryonic stem cells. Well, how about 12? And last I looked, you couldn't even reach 12. Last I looked, it was 10. 10 clinical trials with the words embryonic stem cells in the registration. Not that they're necessarily using them in the treatment that is being tried. So now when you have these 10, when you put in embryonic stem cells, the website will cheerfully list for you all 10 of these records. And you click on the first one and you look and see what they're using to treat with, and it's a drug. It's not embryonic stem cells. And you look at the second one, and it's a drug. And it's not embryonic stem cells. And you look at the third one, and it's a drug. And you get all the way down to the bottom of those 10 so-called embryonic stem cells, and you'll find that zero is the number of embryonic stem cell clinical trials and will always be zero unless they find a way to spend 10 times as much money as it costs to do an adult stem cell treatment. You're not going to find any clinical trials list there. And when you find one, it will be advertised all over the internet and in all the newspapers that lie to you and tell you their adult stem cells are unproven. So if you think that 2,700 clinical trials with about 40,000 patients getting better is unproven, then you deserve what you're going to get. Take more pills and die young. Enough on that subject. It is now just past quarter after, and we are going to put on here, we're going to tell you what numbers you can call if you want to call in and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about and ask for more proof. That's fine, too. Toll-free, U.S. and Canada, 888-429-5471. If we're outside U.S. and Canada, or if that line's busy, area code 530-413-9537. And call in any time, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. Okay, the next subject is going to be Parkinson's and stem cells, as reported by our good friend and America's number one stem cell nutritionist, and there is no number two, Dr. James Brawley, sent me this week, and it is the latest, the very latest, on the subject of Parkinson's. And it's about something that is not quite new, but it's very recent. I'm quoting Dr. Brawley here. An important part of our integrative therapy for Parkinson's, integrative therapy means using stem cells and using other stuff that's known, like vitamins or an occasional drug, very occasional. And it, part of the therapy for Parkinson's is a regular vitamin D like in Donald, blood testing, both before and after stem cell therapy, followed by optimization of each patient's vitamin D status. In other words, if you got Parkinson's and you're going to get stem cells, the good doctors must know in advance what your vitamin D level is and what your vitamin D level is afterwards. And there's only two hospitals in the world that go after that. One is Dr. Brawley's, which is in Mexico, and the other is in Asia. And the one in Asia also is very hot on vitamin D. Having low vitamin D levels may increase a person's risk of developing Parkinson's disease later in life. That's a result of a giant study in Finland. It was only 3 years ago, 3,000 people were tested, and they were then followed to see what happened to them if they had low levels of vitamin D. It was published in the Archives of Neurology. And what they found was the people with the lowest blood levels of vitamin D had a triple risk of developing Parkinson's disease. I repeat, a triple risk of developing Parkinson's disease. Now, 3,000 people, that should be enough to prove it. Now, doctors have known for many years that vitamin D helps calcium uptake and bone formation. Everybody knows that. It's not something new. But new research is now showing that it also plays a critical role in regulating the immune system. And boy, do we talk about the immune system a lot. That's the part of your body that if enemies come into your body, it goes after them. And it needs to be regulated because sometimes it gets bad information and starts attacking good things. And that's called autoimmune disease. But also, vitamin D helps play a role in developing the nervous system, including making stem cells work better in repairing and regenerating nerve cells and helping to prevent depression, autoimmune diseases, heart disease, cancer, and diabetes, in addition to Parkinson's. For most people, vitamin D is normally made by the body when the skin is exposed to direct sunlight, although some comes from foods like oily fish, egg yolk, and milk that's been fortified, and some cereals. But as people age, their skin becomes less able to produce vitamin D. Now, if you're a healthy 35-year-old and you like to get you like to sunbathe, and you get two hours of sunbathing a week, your healthy skin is producing vitamin D for your body. And if you're 50 and reasonably healthy, it still happens. But once you get over 65 and 70, it's not as strong as it used to be. And there's other things that contribute to vitamin D insufficiency, like if you live in northern climates, above 50 degree latitude or below 50 degree longitude, or if you're hospitalized, if you're bedridden for long times, you can bet that your vitamin D is insufficient. Now, normally, sunlight on the skin helps generate vitamin D, and they recommend 15 to 25 minutes a day. And if you're able to do that, fine. You don't need to take pills. So let's leave it at that. And if you can get yourself some sunlight, get your vitamin D up there. Okay, that's Dr. Brawley's words on vitamin D. Sometimes we like to see things that are printed in your newspapers and also in medical magazines and stuff. And here's an interesting one. It's 100% true, but it is slightly misleading, and I wanted to tell you, you're going to see a lot of stuff like this. And I'm the last one to criticize the Mayo Clinic, but I want to make a slight criticism of this article that they just opened a clinic in Arizona, and they are using bone marrow transplant programs. And a year from now, they're going to open in Arizona its own stem cell lab. The laboratory will be initially dedicated to storing and processing stem cells used for bone marrow transplants at Mayo Clinic Hospital and Phoenix Children's Hospital. Now, what that means is this. They, in this whole article, they never mention the word leukemia, and you're misled, and I don't even say it's intentional, into thinking that they're going to, and I am going to get requests as a, can I get treatment for my diabetes at Mayo Clinic in Arizona? And the answer is absolutely not. The one thing that the FDA doesn't interfere with is cancer and leukemia treatments. Now, to you understand the psychology and how things are changing. In as late as 2005, and I'm living proof of this, the word stem cells were never used in advising people who came into hospitals that they were doing bone marrow transplants for cancer and leukemia patients. And indeed, bone marrow transplants was the standard treatment for it, but nobody ever said, at least until 2005 and in some cases later than that, nobody ever said this is only limited to, this is, nobody ever said stem cells. This word stem cells was not used ever. And I proved that to myself when I went to a gentleman who I consider to be the world's leading stem cell researcher and treating doctor, and saw his department was named the Leukemia and Bone Marrow Transplant Department. And that was common everywhere. You were treating leukemia, you transplanted bone marrow, you switched cells within the patient's body, and more commonly you took a healthy patient's bone marrow, removed the unhealthy patient's bone marrow, and put the healthy patient's bone marrow in. And that's a dangerous procedure, but it was all they had. But nobody ever said they were making stem cell treatments, stem cell transplants. Now, it happened that the bone marrow consists of, among other things, stem cells. And suddenly, about 4 or 5 years ago, they started calling them stem cell transplants. And that's what Mayo Clinic did here. Not that they're doing anything wrong, because when you're transplanting bone marrow, you're transplanting stem cells. And the quote, "The laboratory will be initially dedicated to storing and processing stem cells used for bone marrow transplants. Mayo Clinic is a regional referral center and performs more than 200 adult stem cell transplants each year." You just saw the words in the U.S., you just heard the words, three words, adult stem cell transplants each year. The only place, this is not a U.S. law, it's not even an FDA law, but it is a law that you get in trouble if you're a doctor and you use the words adult stem cells in that order, you can get a lot of trouble unless you're talking about transplants for leukemia. So their point is they want to lie to you and they want to say adult stem cells have been used for 40 years to treat leukemia. Well, in a way that's true. And again, I'm not accusing Mayo Clinic of anything here, but the law set down by pharma is if you want to ever get published anywhere, you don't put the word adult in front of the word stem cells outside of the leukemia. So if you did something very successful and cured some diabetes patients with stem cells, you better not say adult stem cells. You better just say stem cells. And the reason is they know that the majority of the people who read that article will rethink it's embryonic stem cells because that's all you're allowed to publicize in the United States of America. And so that's why the Mayo Clinic says 200 adult stem cell transplants, they get away with it because it's true and it's leukemia. Pharma propaganda says adult stem cells have been used for 40 years to treat leukemia, but nothing else works. And that's what your doctor thinks. So when you're dying and you go to your doctor and says, hey, these pills you're giving me are making me worse, and I want to take stem cells, he will lie to you. And that's what I'm going to such trouble with right now. to tell you, I have had patients die because their doctors conned them into thinking their pills were suddenly going to help whatever deadly disease they had. And that's all the doctors know. Any doctor wants to discuss that with me or debate me, debate me on that subject, call in. You know you're going to lose. Okay, it's half past. It's half past four in California. It's half past seven in New York. And it's half past six in the Central Time Zone. What do you say, Mr. Engineer? We take a quick break.
Have you been told repair stem cells are untested, unsafe, ineffective, and even detrimental? Not true. In fact, the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells have been proven in over 1,500 clinical trials in the United States and around the world. Repair stem cells are currently used by doctors worldwide to help people suffering from over 100 serious and so-called untreatable medical conditions. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margolis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company, helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on BBS Radio.
Welcome back. It's now 4:33 Pacific, 7:33 Eastern, and we're going to start this with an interview of a lung patient. He and his wife, he was in pretty bad shape, and he knew that he wasn't getting any better taking pills. And his wife was a little leery. And she was a little scared, but they had no choice. He was clearly not getting any better. And as I tell everybody, anybody with a chronic disease has a shortened life expectancy. Nobody can dispute that, patient, and no doctor will ever, ever, ever say it. You have multiple sclerosis. You now have a shortened life expectancy. And that shortened life expectancy might be 5 years, might be 10 years. The best story I ever saw was a pair of twin brothers. On their 65th birthday, they went in for a heart exam. Brother A was perfectly healthy, and the doctor says, your heart is great, and your life expectancy is age 85. And it was true. His life expectancy, once you're at 65 and healthy, your expectancy is 85. The brother, turned out, had congestive heart failure. And he was put on all kinds of medications, and his life expectancy, and the doctor sure didn't know this, but his life expectancy, are you ready? Not 85, 73. As a matter of fact, 50% of the patients diagnosed with congestive heart failure die in less than 6 years. The rest have triple the mortality or worse of normal people. So, Mr. Engineer, let's hear about Carl, who went all the way to Argentina to get stem cell treatment from his stem cells from his own bone marrow, and see what. Let's hear about his experience.
This is Don Margolis on the line with Carl and Gail Tischauer of Arizona. They just made a long trip to Arizona to get some stem cells, and while it's far too early to see how good the stem cells or how much the stem cells are going to do for them, I wanted to get their opinion about the whole trip. Carl, you have a lung situation that you went for stem cell treatment for. How did you handle that long flight to Buenos Aires?
I handled it real well. I was able to borrow a portable concentrator and enough batteries to go ahead and be able to, you know, recharge on the way to Buenos Aires, so especially in Houston. So,
okay.
You know, there was no problem at all.
Good to hear. Now, Gail, I know you were nervous.
That's right.
And when you got to the airport, they were waiting for you. Who was waiting for you when you got to the airport?
When we got to the airport in Buenos Aires, Julieta, who was our interpreter, was waiting for us. She had our name on a sign, and so we were able to find each other. And then we all walked out of the airport to a vehicle that Luis was driving so he could take us to San Nicolas.
Did anybody remember to bring your baggage with you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And very helpful. Julieta right away took our carry-on luggage and helped us in the baggage claim area with the check-in. Everybody was very helpful.
Good. So you got off to a good start and maybe got a little of your nervousness down. Hold it. My tablet is acting up. I imagine that Julieta checked you into the hotel on Wednesday when you arrived on at the San Nicolas, and there was no problem there. When did you first meet Dr. Vigna?
We met Dr. Vigna after we were admitted to the hospital on Thursday, early afternoon.
Oh, that's a good way to celebrate July 4th. And you got to meet Dr. Vigna. Gail, I'm sure you were still nervous at that point. What happened when you met Dr. Vigna?
He was very cordial. I found out he knew more English than I thought, enough to introduce himself and to tell me not to be so nervous and that everything would go smoothly. A very warm, friendly man.
Carl, as far as you're concerned, did everything go smoothly?
Everything went absolutely smoothly, yeah. I mean, like I said, from the time we were admitted in the hospital till after the procedure, Dr. Vigna was there several times, you know, during my stay, so, and all the nurses and everybody else, so just, yeah, you know, was
great. Gail, can you, in a nutshell, give us what Carl's breathing problem was like before the stem cell treatment?
Well, since the beginning of 2013 of the year, things have been going somewhat downhill. He's had the pulmonary fibrosis a very long time, but suddenly he was getting much, much sicker. He had two hospitalizations for lung infections. And after, when he went in for the second hospitalization, which was just, we had already made arrangements to go into Argentina, he was on oxygen by that time. So definitely it was getting much, much worse, and at one point he had to be on oxygen high enough that the concentrator was at its highest peak, and lots of coughing. He was unable to really, even with oxygen, walk from one place to another due to the infections on top of the pulmonary fibrosis.
Okay, that's pretty clear, and thank you, Gail. Carl, how did you feel psychologically at the morning after the stem cell treatment? How did you feel psychologically?
You know, I felt good. I mean, you know, just knowing the fact that, you know, it was done, and that was the kind of my whole, you know, intention of going there. To get the procedure done one way or the other. And, you know, psychologically, I mean, that was very positive.
Okay. Gail, as you know, Carl and I and you have been talking for well over 2 months prior to the treatment. And Is it my imagination, or is Carl's voice stronger now than it was before?
It's definitely stronger. It's very in total, he has already more stamina and strength, and it shows in his actions as well as his voice.
Well, that's typical, and we want to tell our listeners this. This has nothing to do with who the doctor was, where you got the treatment. If you get stem cells for virtually anything, and I mean virtually anything, that they treat from a competent doctor, somehow the first thing that happens, and by golly, you were treated on July 5th, which is 12 days ago, and in those 12 days, you've got what most stem cell patients get, which is increased stamina and increased strength, before you even get a clue that the stem cells are working for what you want them to work for, whether it's heart disease or lung disease or diabetes. The first thing that happens is your body gets stronger. And our job here at the Repair Stem Cell Institute, of course, is to make Carl's improvement as permanent as possible. And the way we do that is to make sure your lifestyle is changed into a perfect diet and exercise program. Have you talked yet to Dr. Brawley?
Yes, I have. Actually,
Dr. Brawley is one of
is
a stem cell expert and a nutrition expert, and he's going to get information from Carl and teach Carl how to get a better life with diet and exercise to make the stem cells very healthy and do their thing. Thank you, Carl and Gail. I hope to talk to you in another month or two, and you can give our listeners your progress at that time. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Last I talked to Carl, he's still strong. His voice is still strong. Let's move on to the next subject. This is, we hope, good news for people who live in the eastern half of the country, particularly those who live in the southeast. There will be opening in 2014 a new stem cell center in the Bahamas. And the people who are putting this together kept it quiet for a little while and then announced it. And Gus Pharma was caught with its pants down and couldn't get, took them a while to get their lying opposition and their propaganda going for the people of the Bahamas. And all the Bahama newspapers are giving the two-way arguments now, which they find enough crooked doctors to say, stem cells don't work. And meanwhile, they're just moving along and toward opening. Now, they call themselves, for heart disease, they call themselves the Okeanos Heart Institute. Not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. Okyanos, Okeanos Heart Institute in the Bahamas. And their mission is to bring a new standard of care and a better quality of life to patients with coronary artery disease using cardiac stem cell therapy. It is interesting that this is almost 10 years to the day after Theravita, the world's very first stem cell heart company, went into business in 2003. And here's their announcement. They say that they have selected International MedX and Philips Healthcare as its partner to establish the country's first cath lab for stem cell therapy. Now, that isn't big news, but what is big news is that their partner is one of the giants in industry, and it's Philips. Now, Philips is a global leader in cardiac imaging and has the largest share of, I mean, dominates, let's say it truthfully. Philips dominates the worldwide cardiac cath labs market. They are the manufacturer, they are the researcher, they are the billionaires who have put together what they think is the best cardiac cath lab worldwide, and I have no argument with that. I just don't know enough to say so, but they are the number one, and it must be for a reason. International MedX, the other partner, is the distributor for Philips Healthcare equipment in most of the English and Dutch-speaking Caribbean. And most people don't know that in the Caribbean there's a lot of Dutch-speaking countries. The most important, the largest one is called Curaçao. Since they are truly number one, the chief medical officer of the Okeanos Heart Institute, his name is Howard Walpole, MD, MBA, FACC, FSCAI, FSCAI, made the decision to go with Philips equipment specifically for the treatment of adult stem cell therapy heart patients. Quote, "The most important functions of this equipment are to provide high-quality images and to obtain the right projections of the image," said Walpole. "When you visualize a heart, you need to be able to get a complete angle to be able to see the backside of the heart. This enables the cardiologist to deliver the stem cells where they are most needed." I got to say that again because it's 110% true. You need to be able to get a complex angle to be able to see the backside of the heart. This enables the cardiologist to deliver the stem cells where they are most needed. The size of the image detector is smaller, and more flexible positioner makes it easy to pivot around the patient's body to obtain these difficult views. Now, that's the end of this subject discussion. But believe me, there isn't anybody in the world that has a more recent example of this situation about the complex angles and the views when the cardiologists need to know what is really going on with the heart. Nobody in the world has as much recent as event. The person that has that, his name is Donald Robert Margolis, who exactly 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks and 6 days ago, was diagnosed with angina pectoris. And you're going to get to hear that story later. Mr. Engineer, did I understand you correctly? We have a caller, and if so, put him or her on.
Hi, is this Don Margolis?
This is Don Margolis.
Hello, this is James from Dallas.
James from Dallas. You sound like you might be from Britain. Are you visiting Dallas, or you like it so much you're living there?
Oh, I love it in Dallas. It's been here a few years. It's kind of fun. Well,
some people have all the luck. I wish I could visit Dallas, but too much going on here. Okay. Tell me, James, what's your question?
Yeah, I was just reading your new newsletter, And there was an article in it about the FDA and stem cells, and I'd love you to address it a little bit if you can.
Oh, sure. As a matter of fact, it's a very good question. Most people don't understand what's going on. I thank you for your call, James. You'd like to stay on, fine, or if you can hang up and listen, it's all up to you. Here we go. What most people don't know is that in the middle 90s, pharma's billionaires went through the United States Senate, this was unofficially, just one by one, and using hundreds of thousands of dollars per senator, got them on their side and got them to pass a law saying that pharma will run the United States Government Food and Drug Administration. The FDA is now a subsidiary of pharma, and the FDA will never make a decision to allow stem cells to reduce its profit. And so what they do is, with their billions and billions of dollars, they've got thousands of corrupt medical scientists out there saying that stem cells are unproven. And as you know from listening to this program earlier, 2,700 clinical trials treating over 40,000 patients successfully is hardly unproven, but they don't allow any newspaper to say that, because if they do, that they can put that paper out of business simply by stopping pharma advertising. And that goes for the New York Times too. So the FDA controls it, and now they've allowed, and the courts, which pharma controls most of the courts too, have now said that the certain cells in your body are patented and you can't sell those cells if you wish to, because they're no longer yours. They're owned by the patent holder who bribed the FDA, or who is part of the FDA, and he's the one, or they are the ones that make the billions if and when it happens, and you do not own all of your body. And that's what this cartoon is about. For those who didn't get it, I'll read you the caption. It shows there are three people in the caption, a bride, groom, and a preacher. And the preacher says, this is a quote, "And do you take this man, parts of whom are patented by the Genoscope company, to be your lawful wedded husband?" Now, I hope you now understand what the purpose of this cartoon is. It's to emphasize the fact that as big business has taken over every part of your life, now they're taking over parts of your body. And that is, for example, some researchers and physicians have been taking adult stem cells from individual patients and re-injecting them to treat various medical conditions. Progress is being made. Human beings have grown and transplanted tracheas using stem cells from the individual patients. So this would be very hard to do in the USA. There's a couple people who had tracheas that were not working and killing them, and they tried three times and succeeded twice in saving the life of the patient by creating a trachea. Now the Food and Drug Administration has won a federal court case that allows the agency to regulate adult stem cell treatments as though they are drugs. This will do for stem cell research with what FDA regulation has done for drugs. Increase profits and kill you because they're making slow progress and making treatments much more expensive. Now, this is directly from the Wall Street Journal, not exactly an enemy of big business. Quote, as former FDA Deputy Commissioner and physician Scott Gottlieb and attorney Colleen Glassmeyer explained in their Wall Street Journal op-ed, at issue are stem cells taken from our own body and then reimplanted in our own body for the purpose of treating medical problems. The most inspiring work, quote, involves adult stem cells. Although the court's ruling in principle extends FDA oversight into things that are as common as in vitro fertilization, basically what these murderous bastards have done is say that you cannot use your cells to save your life. And every time I say to some pro-stem cell doctor, it ain't going to happen in your country, it ain't going to happen in your country, and they say, oh yes, we're running clinical trials and we expect to be approved to do heart treatments in 3 years. You're dreaming. Profits, profits, profits. They're the first three rules of American medicine. Profits number one, profits number two, profits number three, and coming in number 27,000 is patient care. That's the American medical system. And now a federal court has agreed with the crooks who have taken over your FDA. And when I get a patient that comes to me and says, hey, why should I use this stem cell treatment? It's not FDA approved. Imagine what I have to go through to explain it to the poor guy, because he'll never see it in the New York Times or the Philadelphia Inquirer or the Los Angeles Times. He'll never see that the crooks at the FDA have made their cells illegal to use on themselves. That is the American medical system. A lot of people don't like it when I say it that way, but if you want to read the whole thing, just send an email to info@repairstemcells.org and we'll send you a free copy of that newsletter. Thank you for your attention. It's now 1 minute to 8 Eastern, and it's now 1 minute to 4 Pacific. So let's take our second half-hour break. Are you ready for a half-hour break, Mr. Engineer?
Since 2005, Don Margolis has been quietly earning the title of the voice of stem cell science for his tireless advocacy of the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells to help patients recover from more than 100 different diseases and medical conditions, including the big three chronic killers in the U.S., cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margolis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on BBS Radio.
Okay, welcome back. We had a little bit of a glitch there, no big deal. We are going to, with this half hour, meet with Bill Gates, who also went down to see Dr. Vigna, and he got himself a heart treatment. And let's explain something about Mr. Gates. Mr. Gates is, as far as we know, a Texan who spends a lot of time in Mexico, and he has had, it's been a couple months since his treatment, and he has some interesting things to share with us. So, Mr. Engineer, if you're ready, let's, Bill Gates and Don Margolis, have a little chat.
Welcome, everybody. We now have Bill Gates with us. No, not that Bill Gates, but Bill Gates, who used to have a heart problem and went down to Argentina to see what he could do about it. Bill, what was your heart like before you went to Argentina?
Don, I had a very low ejection fraction. I felt bad all the time. My primary problem was I was retaining water by the gallon, and it was causing me to have to go to the hospital a lot to have the water taken off of my body.
Understood. And and sometimes they have drugs that could control that, but obviously the drugs weren't doing you much good.
They weren't working.
They weren't working. Okay. So now you're on your way to Argentina, and it's a long 9-10 hour trip. How did that, was that too tough for you?
Well, it was a long trip. I went down with my son and daughter-in-law, and we were able to pick up some first-class tickets at a very reasonable cost, and so the trip wasn't too bad.
Okay, glad to hear that.
I didn't sleep well, but other than that, it was all right.
Okay, how about who met you at the airport?
A representative of Dr. Vino's clinic and a young lady, and she spoke excellent English, and she was with a driver, a professional driver in car, and they met me at the airport and escorted me down to San Nicolas to where the clinic was and checked me into a hospital. Into a hotel there.
Okay. So you weren't in too bad a shape when you arrived then, because if people arrive very sick, they put them right in the hospital. So you and your son and daughter-in-law went into the hotel.
And, correct.
And when did you first meet Dr. Vina?
I met him the next day. And I checked into the hospital that next evening, and he had his staff with him when he met me in the hospital, and we discussed what was going to happen the next day, and he answered questions that we had about the different procedures.
Okay. How would you describe him, not as a doctor, but as a guy you just met?
A very jovial guy, and we got along just fine. And he has a world of self confidence, and was able to tell us all about his program from the beginning and his experience in stem cells, and which is very impressive.
Hey, Bill, between you and me, I'd rather my cardiologist be overconfident than confident.
No question. A positive attitude.
So how was the stem cell procedure?
Well, I'll tell you what the stem cell procedure was. They came and got me in my hotel room, hospital room the next morning. And, I think it was closer to 11 o'clock. And took me down to the cath lab, and at that time, a hematologist came in and drew the samples of my bone marrow from my hip, and it wasn't too painful. You could feel it, but it wasn't too painful. Then they made the stem cell injections up. And after that, of course, they use the cath lab there to place the stem cells in my heart, and also in my heart or wherever they did it in that area, and it appeared to be about a total of a 3-hour deal from me leaving my room to getting back to my room.
Okay, and, that's very descriptive.
It was a pretty procedure that had been well practiced, and these guys that were in there they knew their job and they just did it.
Okay, and, how did you feel as
back in your hotel room the next day, how did you feel?
Tired. Okay. A little pain in my rear end where they drew the bone marrow sample. And other than that, I was fine. I mean, I wasn't in any general pain or anything like that. I couldn't tell that the stem cells were working, you know, that quick or anything, but I felt fine. They gave me sleeping pills and pain pills. And so I was able to sleep and forego most of the pain. And the next morning, you know, I felt pretty good. He came by the room the next morning and released me from the hospital, and that was it.
Okay. Now, let's skip forward 2 months. During the last 2 months, have you experienced an increase in energy?
Very much so.
And how about stamina, the ability to keep it up? Is it that increase versus before?
Yes, I'm above and beyond where I was, say, 6 or 9 months ago.
Okay.
And no stretch of imagination there. And I stayed in Austin, Texas for about 6 weeks to 2 months before I came back down to my home in Cabo. And I was able to work with my doctors there on controlling my fluid. And thus far, I have had not a problem one with fluid retention.
Thank goodness.
My biggest problem.
Okay, Bill, we're running out of time here. Just want to say thank you, and we'll be back to you in a month, and we'll talk about a month or two, and we'll talk about your further progress. We appreciate your time, and as we say, buena suerte.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Bill Gates. We have a new event in Great Britain. It's a step forward. We've also done this in the United States, a couple of places. It seems that when a place does nothing but take the patient's stem cells, does not change them in any way, and immediately puts them into an external organ, external part of the body, namely muscle, namely bone, namely cartilage, mainly a joint. That's called external treatments, as opposed to internal treatments, which are internal organs like heart, lung, kidney, pancreas, liver. Those are all internal treatments, and especially the brain. But for external treatments, Britain, the little place in Britain just got approval. It's in a place called Cambridgeshire, and it's a practice of a couple of doctors, and they have surprisingly received approval to use adult stem cells to help repair and regenerate damaged tissues and joints. See that? Damaged tissues and joints. That's not internal organs. So, but the practice is called the Villar Bajwa practice at Spire Cambridge Lee Hospital in Impington. It's the first private hospital in the UK to offer the treatment for the hip, tackling the early stages of arthritis. It was also one of only of a handful of sites to do the same for the knee, in which stem cells are used to create more cartilage, helping to preserve the natural hip and knee joints and delay or prevent the need for big operations. And they got it reasonably priced at around $6,000, and a little bit more if it's private. Now, let's expand on that just a little bit so you'll understand. You have between your, what I'll call this thigh bone and the shin bone, between the two is your knee. And between those two bones, the bones can't rub together, it gets very painful, you have a strip of cartilage called the meniscus. Now, the meniscus, in some people, for many different reasons, starts to wear out and shrink, and ultimately it can disappear. And once it disappears, you are out of luck. There is nothing that can be done except an operation which has one of the worst records in the history of surgery, which is knee surgery. It has a horrible record, not only in the United States, but everywhere else. But if you still have some bits of that meniscus between those two bones, good doctors can inject both stem cells and or platelet-rich plasma into the knee and grow that cartilage, if you're lucky, back to full size. Now, in our opinion, the best knee doctor in the world for conditions like that happens to be in the state of Maryland, if you can believe it. And he has no problem with the FDA. He's got a great website. So if you want to know more information on this subject, and Maryland isn't too far for you, just send an email to info@repairstemcells.org and make the subject knee, K-N-E-E, and we will send you full information about this chap and give you his website and email contact with his chief nurse. Okay, enough on that subject about orthopedics. Now we're going to spend a bit of time on one of my favorite targets called the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine, CIRM. As regular listeners know, it is a crooked organization that makes money. In the beginning, it made money for three people. A fellow by the name of Klein, who founded it, made money for him and his friends. A fellow by the name of Tronson. The first two people who were running this couldn't stand how corrupt it was and ran for the hills. And so they had to find somebody who was super corrupt and could run this thing and steal the money from the taxpayers. And his name was Trounson, T-R-O-U-N-S-O-N. Now, did they find him in California? Nope. Did they find him in the Western Pacific time zone? Nope. Did they find him in the Eastern time zone, where there's a lot of people that like to make money pretending embryonic stem cells work? Nope. Where did they go to find somebody to run the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine? They had to go all the way to Australia to find somebody crooked enough to keep the lies flowing. And this guy had plenty of experience. He was caught twice lying, but since the press is behind embryonic stem cells because the farmer wants it that way. And so the press suddenly forgot about the fact that Trounson was a lying crook. He had falsified embryonic data. And somehow they paid off some low-ranking sucker to take the blame for it. So that was able to close the book on Trounson, who was running the thing that was run and producing crooked data. And of course, Trounson didn't know about it. He was much too honest. So they found this crook all the way 10,000 miles away, and he runs it. But he wasn't cheap. The third guy you may have heard of, his name was Schwarzenegger. He happened to be the governor at the time. And he participated in the con just like Klein and Trounson, and they all made out from it. And how does the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine work? Very simple. They claim, now, this a lot of people don't believe, but it really does happen. You can look it up in the Los Angeles Times back when it happened. Ignoring the fact that embryonic stem cells don't work and ignoring the fact that adult stem cells do work, these crooks getting contributions from pharma and the people who handle pharma's money and secretly pass out money to people who keep adult stem cells out of the business, took all of the money that the voters were giving and refused to use embryonic stem cells, which work, and gave all the money to the con men scientists throughout the California university system. Now, that last I looked, there was something like 19 or 20 such colleges, and virtually every one of them participates in this criminal activity by taking the taxpayers' money and pretending they are going to use embryonic stem cells, because that's what they said. As soon as George Bush gets out of the White House, the cures are going to be pouring out of the embryonic pipeline. And the minute the 2009, when Obama was installed in January, in March, he announced that we are lifting the Bush prohibition on embryonic stem cells, and all the liberals in the country scream, yay, we're going to get all those cures now that George Bush kept from us. Now, George Bush was not innocent of anything. He was part of the whole scam. But just the fact that he was so hated and Obama replaced him and said embryonic stem cells, well, of course, every liberal in the country believed it. And so here come the cures from embryonic stem cells. And, of course, there weren't any and never will be any, no matter how they try and how they try to con you. It will never happen. And even last year, as of last year, of all the money thrown away for the California tax, from the California taxpayers, $6 billion. How do you feel about that, Californians, now that all the things that you used to think you were going to get from your state, you don't get anymore? How do you feel about now these lying murderers want more of your billions to make money for themselves and deliver not one treatment, even though in the last couple years they've actually started giving some money to that adult stem cells? Don't say it out loud, because your doctor will tell you adult stem cells don't work, and yet they started giving some of their research money. So as of the last I looked, it was roughly three times as much money for embryonic stem cells, which never can possibly cannot never work. After all, ever since this crooked organization opened up, they've been feeding money to embryonic scientists, if you want to call them scientists, to come up with a cure so that the cures will come pouring out of the pipeline. Guess what? Ain't no cures. Not even a clinical trial for these lying bastards. Not even a clinical trial. Here we are in 2013, and this organization's been around since 2004, 9 years, and they can't even get a clinical trial going for any major disease: heart, lung, diabetes, kidney, liver, and hundreds of different brain diseases such as brain damage and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and autism and cerebral palsy. Not one cure has come out of these $6 billion from all the crooks in California. Why? Because their goal is not to help you. Their goal is to take bribes from pharma secretly and give money to all the crooks in the California, University of California system for research. Research which has never produced a clinical trial. And a clinical trial, as anybody familiar with the FDA knows, means it's more than 10 years, even if it's 100% successful, which they never are. before you can get a treatment out of the CIRM, and these lying bastards are asking you for more money. So that is the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine. Now, lately, they've introduced another round of research grants totaling more than $40 million. This is a big deal, $40 million out of billions and billions of dollars. These were, a majority of these were adult stem cells. Now you think, oh, you think they actually care about patients now? Well, the fellow that wrote about this didn't think so, and I'm going to quote him. The motivation behind this does not seem to be deep-rooted belief in the inherent dignity of every human life, including the embryonic stage. Rather, it's not that they're against embryonics because of human life. Rather, it is due to the plain and simple fact that embryonic stem cell research has not produced viable treatments, and adult research has proven to be better medicine and a better invention. Gee, you think? Well, just so you know, the Repair Stem Cell Institute does not and never will participate in the so-called religious political argument about embryonic stem cells. Our argument is that the stem cells never, never, never work. And then they came up with something called induced pluripotent stem cells. Say, gee, we don't have to use embryos. We'll take adult skin from a patient and revert that back to the embryonic state, so you're not taking an embryonic life, and produce embryonic cures using these induced pluripotent stem cells. Now, in the United States of America, owned by pharma, whether you care to believe it or not, you are owned by pharma, and you are not allowed to know that adult stem cells are proving much better. There is one clinical trial going on. It's not even listed, but the FDA makes a big deal of it, and you can read about it on thousands of websites promoted by pharma about this one clinical trial for some really rare eye disease. It's called Stargardt. And Stargardt is the only current clinical trial going on in embryonics. So aren't you thrilled that a disease that has, that there's 1 in 10,000 or 1 in 100,000 people have, that you never heard of anybody, you never heard of the disease, you hear more about that sham clinical trial in your newspapers, in your websites, from anybody that has your ear? You hear more about that one nothing clinical trial than you can about the 2,700 successful clinical trials, either finished or ongoing. You're not allowed to hear about those. You're not allowed to see in any positive stem cell article, in any positive stem cell article, you're not allowed to see in the United States of America the word adult in front of the word stem cells, so that you, poor sucker, when somebody has an article, let's say the University of Nebraska publishes an article about their successful research using adult stem cells, all they're allowed to say is stem cells, not adult stem cells, so that you suckers, all of you, the majority of you, know that embryonic stem cells are the only stem cells. And so you can sit back and say, damn that George Bush. Here's an embryonic stem cell cure at the University of Nebraska, and they're not allowed to use it. Well, that ain't true. There is no such thing as a successful embryonic stem cell treatment in anywhere in North America, in any lab, especially in California. So what we're trying to do here is show you what they're doing to you, so when you see an article saying stem cells without describing what the stem cells are, And if it's a positive article, it damn sure is about adult stem cells. Next week, next Friday, we're going to talk about something called induced pluripotent stem cells, which now that the public is just beginning to realize that embryonic stem cells are as phony as we say they are, and now it's only a small minority of patients believe that all stem cells are embryonic, and the reason for that is all the liberals listen to their lying president and their lying congressmen who are screaming for embryonic stem cells, but there's nobody to scream to because the president is all for it. And what's happening is they don't know how to tell you that it ain't never going to happen. We know how to tell you that, but they don't. So they don't want to screw up their voting majority and tell the truth. But we don't care about voting majorities. We're telling you the truth. Okay, Mr. Engineer, let's take our let's take a one or two minute break now, if you will, and we'll come back for the last half hour.
Have you been told repair stem cells are untested, unsafe, ineffective, and even detrimental? Not true. In fact, the safety and efficacy of repair stem cells have been proven in over 1,500 clinical trials in the United States and around the world. Repair stem cells are currently used by doctors worldwide to help people suffering from over 100 serious and so-called untreatable medical conditions. Learn the truth about stem cells with Don Margolis, chairman and founder of the Repair Stem Cell Institute, the world's only stem cell patient advocacy company, helping you and your loved ones to make educated choices and connect with the world's finest stem cell doctors on BBS Radio.
Welcome back. We had a glitch here that caused this break to be longer than it might have been, but that's okay. We have one of our very, very, very best interviews coming up. This is the first lady in the world to get stem cells for her heart. Her name is Dee Coates. She got stem cells for her heart before any other lady in the world outside of clinical trial. This was not in a clinical trial. This was she paid $25,000, came to Bangkok, which cost her airline tickets. But if you're a heart patient, you'll recognize her symptoms. She had, before she came to Bangkok, she had suffered through 24, I'll say it again, two dozen angioplasties, some of which put in stents, some of which didn't, 24 times, thus making a huge chunk of money for her cardiologist and for the guys who were putting on the stents, because the insurance companies know who to pay good money to keep the crooked system going. And so she was in July of 2005. And Mr. Engineer, can you put us on with Dee Coates? Today, we have the pleasure of introducing the very first woman in the world to get heart stem cell treatment outside of a clinical trial. Her name is Dee Coates, and she's from Southern California, and her story is super interesting. Dee, how are you feeling today?
I feel awesome.
Okay. We're going to go back in time and ask you to think back to the spring of 2005.
and you were, you had a heart condition, and you went to your cardiologist feeling awfully down. Do you recall that occasion?
Yes, I do.
And what happened?
They said there was nothing they could do for me. I wasn't viable for a transplant, so there was nothing.
So what happened? What did that do to you? A lot of people, that would have sent them into depression. What did it do to you?
It did. I cried all the way home from San Diego, which was 4 hours. But when I got home, I told my husband, I'm not finished yet, and there's something out there for me. And so I typed in stem cells. That's when I found Don Margolis, and that's when I started on my road to healing.
Okay. Glad to hear that. Can you tell us something about how your life was limited by your heart?
I was more of an observer in my life than I was a participator. I couldn't walk very far. I worked full-time at the city at that time, and I would have to stop in the different offices down the hallway just to get to the mailroom and stop in the rooms on the way back to rest. So it wasn't enjoyable, to say the least.
Okay. So then you called that telephone number, the USA telephone number, and we told you you had to go if you want a treatment, you had to go to Bangkok. How'd you feel about that?
I was scared to death. And I'll be honest. I mean, I was stepping out into an area that I knew nothing about, going to a country I knew nothing about. But my husband, bless his heart, said, but if you go and it works, how awesome is that?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to stop here just for a minute. Just yesterday, I got word that a patient treated in Bangkok 6 years ago, he was 78 at the time, just passed away.
Oh.
And it was, of course, a sad occasion. And I wrote his wife and I told her that, of course, we all sympathize with her, but that she was indeed a fortunate lady because she lived with a man who took charge of his own life. His doctors told him the same thing they told Dick. And he said, I'm not giving up. He had a place up in the mountains, and he loved mountain climbing. He got his stem cells. He got the same results Dee got, and he started climbing mountains again. Not full-time mountain climbing, but walking up and down for exercise on the mountains. And he took charge of his own life, and that's the point. Most of us, almost all of us, let somebody else take charge of our life and our health. And that is not the best situation. So, Dee, your husband was too sick to go. You had a wonderful girlfriend whom you brought to Bangkok with you named Arlene. How did you two find your trip in Bangkok?
Well, her name was Daylene. And Daylene, yes. And we loved it. I couldn't have met nicer people in my whole life if I had sought them out individually. The people there are so friendly and so kind, and the medical personnel is so well educated and so comforting. I couldn't believe it. I wish some of our U.S. hospitals could go over there and see how to treat a patient.
Well, just so our listeners understand, the original treatment was discontinued because of bribes by pharma. They bribed half the politicians and the scientists to say that stem cells don't work and they're disapproved. Well, but today, two of the best stem cell centers in the world, not heart centers, they treat, between the two of them, they treat everything. But these two centers are advanced, far advanced ahead of most stem cell centers, ahead of 95 to 98% of stem cell centers, are in Bangkok. Just thought we'd throw that in. Now, you finished your treatment. You stayed there, what, about 2 weeks altogether?
Yeah, about 2 weeks, because I stayed two or three extra days because of the long flight home. I knew my leg would swell because that was my 25th angiogram when I got my stem cells. And I knew how it would affect me, and I was afraid flying I might end up with blood clots. So I stayed the extra few days.
And another important point. We, the Repair Stem Cell Institute, always recommend patients stay an extra couple days before they get on that airplane. Not for the leg as in these cases, but the airplane air is terrible. And we'd like you to be stronger and having rested a couple of days. And we had a situation a couple of years ago where five heart patients went down to El Salvador to be treated by Dr. Vina. And we intentionally told them that they could stay anywhere. They could come early, they could come late, they could stay late, but we would, the normal stay is three nights in a hotel, and we said you can stay, come early or come late, and stay seven nights total, just so you get to relax before and to enjoy rehab for a couple days. Well, there were five patients. Two of them were in and out in 3 days, and three of them took advantage of the extra days one way or another. One guy came in one day early, stayed one day late. Another guy took the 3 days of treatment, and then went, he and his girlfriend went for 4 days of relaxation and sightseeing, etc. Now, this is too small a sample to mean anything seriously scientifically, but the two who were in and out in 3 days did not succeed, and the three who stayed later are all today still chirping, as Dee is, about their results 2 years later. So if you get the chance, take those extra days, stay positive, and rest. Dee, you finally came home. Do you recall what happened when you went back to visit your cardiologist?
Well, I went back after about 6 weeks, and he wanted to, I had been scheduled for a stress test. So I did the stress test, and he was amazed because before I could do maybe 5 minutes tops, I did 9 minutes, and he goes, "What's going on?" And I told him what I had done. He didn't know, and he goes, "Well, don't you think you should have consulted me?" And I said, "No, I don't think I should. This is my life, my body, my heart. I will help with the treatment."
Boy, I wish everybody could memorize my body, my life, my heart. I wish everybody could memorize that. And I am going to, every week, have a person on this show who took complete charge of his life and health and is very happy to report on it. Dee Coates, my utmost congratulations. Say hello to Daylene for me.
I will.
She was wonderful. And we'll talk to you again next year as you complete 9 years of treatment.
Yes, we will.
And say hello to your children and great-grandchildren from Uncle Don.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thanks again, Dee. Just for those of you who are into such things, she had two great-grandchildren born 3 and 4 years after her life was saved by stem cells. And she sent me a picture of these two absolutely gorgeous little darlings, one holding each of her legs, standing there in the picture. And it's kind of strange to realize that she never would have met these kids, and now she's playing with them. And that's you just can't beat that. Okay, we're going to give you a couple of clinical trials to consider if you're if you want to get into a clinical trial and get some stem cells without costing you much. One is in Indiana. A group of Indiana area doctors are preparing the second phase of testing for using adult stem cells as a filler in plastic surgery. a procedure recently approved by the FDA. Now, as we keep telling you, the FDA doesn't care about external use of stem cells, like in cosmetic surgery as or repairing a bone or something, because that doesn't cost pharma any money. It's only when you're fixing the heart or another major disease that it's costing pharma money and they'll never approve it. But plastic surgery, fine. Now, this is the name of the company is Antria, A-N-T-R-I-A, Inc., and this is their second trial involving 30 patients, and is expected to start in 2 months, maybe three, according to the administrator. Her name is Sarah Boyer. The first trial, phase one trial, involved 6 patients, recently ended with promising results. Now, all first trials are nothing more than safety, and they proved that nobody gets hurt, so they got the approval to use the patient's own fat cells, we call them adipose cells, in facial augmentation procedures. Stem cells are removed from the fat cells before being condensed and activated for use during cosmetic surgery procedures. Now, isn't it obvious to all those who know or who can think about it that instead of putting in some foreign material to fatten up your face if it needs it, using your own stem cells, which your body loves, instead of something which your body hates, as many, many, many French ladies found out when they used breast enhancement from a company that didn't care to tell them they were using some possibly harmful chemical to put into their breast, and it turned out to be harmful, and hundreds of patients had to get it removed from their breasts. So your own stem cells are certainly not going to hurt you. We call them adipose stem cells when you use a mini lipo. That's a mini lipo subject, means that make a small incision in your tummy and use the patient's own fat cells, and which they derive stem cells from, and clean them off, remove some of the blood and the fat, and have put nice stem cells into the face to fatten up the face. And that's the clinical trial. So if you want to know if you're eligible for that trial, just write to us, info@repairstemcells.org, and we'll tell you exactly how to apply to these folks for entry into these Indiana clinical trials. Second clinical trial we want to bring up is a little more serious, and that is how to minimize the long-term side effects of a stroke. And this one's really tough to get into, and you'll see why in a minute. In a company called Florida Hospital Neuroscience in Orlando is launching a clinical trial to study the safety and efficacy of administering adult stem cells to stroke victims to help restore motor and speech functions. As most of us know, if a stroke is strong enough, it makes it almost impossible for the person to speak normally and to move around without stumbling or losing balance. The study, which is funded by Athersys Inc., a USA company that's into stem cells, but of course is not treating anybody for anything, especially stroke at this time, because pharma won't let them. They make too much money feeding useless pills to stroke victims. But if you're between the ages of 18 and 79 who have suffered an ischemic stroke where the arteries have been blocked by blood clots or by the gradual buildup of plaque, the participants in the trial will receive a dose of either stem cells or a placebo through a one-time intravenous infusion. That means just stick the needle in your arm, have a bag dropping, drip dropping through a tube and into your arm, and you will get stem cells to test if it can reduce the blockage of blood clots or plaque. And but since it's a clinical trial, some of the people will receive a placebo. But the patient's progress will be assumed, will be followed for a year. Quote from Dr. Sergei Bushnev, who's in charge of it, stroke is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. and a leading cause of serious long-term disability. That is 100% true. Serious long-term disability. So the impact this research could have on a survivor's quality of life is significant. Absolutely, Dr. Bushnev. Research director of Florida Hospital Neuroscience Institute. This was a prepared statement released to the press. Quote, if we can restore some of the 2 million brain cells that are dying every minute during stroke, many patients may be able to live independently again. Independently meaning walking around with little help and also speaking. So we wish them all the best. If you're a stroke patient and you want to see if you qualify, just write to info@repairstemcells.org. Okay, 7 minutes to go. And our last subject today will be, I promised to tell you what happened to me after guiding hundreds and hundreds of patients to heart stem cell treatments, with 2 out of 3 of them getting better. We're going to tell you what happened to me. 10 days before my 79th birthday, which was that was August 13th, I've been exercising very hard for a long time, building up my stamina through jogging uphill. And one day, I got these little pains in my chest, nothing sharp, just some kind of pressure that felt strange. So I stopped, and I said to myself, well, I just cleared up my lung infection a month ago, and the doctor said, come back in a month to make sure it's you're still clear. I said, maybe I'm not clear. And I had an appointment that afternoon, by coincidence, to visit my lung doctor to make sure that it was cleared up. So I went to visit her, and I told her what happened, and she says, well, let's check it out. And she checked it out, and she gave me the worst possible news. My lungs were in perfect shape, which meant that something was wrong with my heart, perhaps. So she says, don't worry, Don. My nurse will take you right down to cardiology. So right down to cardiology I went, and I took something called an exercise stress test. And I flunked that one. And the cardiologist looked at the numbers and said, according to these numbers, you're 60% chance to have angina. Angina means you got blockage somewhere in your arterial system near the heart. And it's causing insufficient blood to make it to your heart. And she didn't know I was an expert on this subject, having handled 500 patients and working with the doctors, but I never gave her a clue. I said, what's next? And she says, tomorrow we're going to give you a CT scan. Now that I hated, because CT scans are like 100 x-rays, and I hated the x-ray radiation. But I took the test, and after the test was over, they gave me the results. And it showed that I had these three big blobs of plaque. And inside this one particular artery, and it showed that the plaque, these little, look like little buttons, were bigger, wider than the artery. And they said, we need to give you a stent right away. And I am not a big fan of hospitals. And so I wrote to Dr. Vigna and told him what happened and sent him a copy of the report. And he says, have them give you an arteriogram, and if it confirms what the CT scan says, then yes, get your stent tomorrow. So I had an arteriogram. All this happened in three and a half days. And suddenly, I am taking an arteriogram, and the doctor knew that should the arteriogram confirm the CT scan, he was to send me right to the operating room. They were really scared looking at that CT scan, the serious blockage. So I was going to go right to the operating room and get my stent. At the end of the arteriogram, the doctor came over. I had fallen asleep. There was no anesthesia other than local. I just fell asleep. And he woke me up, and he says, "Come on, time to get up and go home." I said, "How about my stent?" He said, "No, here's the picture." And he gave me the arteriogram picture, which is far more accurate than a CT scan, just as Dr. Vigna predicted. And it showed the three buttons. I call them buttons, pieces of plaque. And lo and behold, they were not big enough to block this vein. They were so much smaller than the artery that they were flowing through that there was no chance of blockage. And the doctor said, "No stents for you. Come back in 3 months for a checkup." So for 4 days, I had a diagnosis, and it was a reasonable diagnosis, and I certainly didn't blame the cardiologist for doing it. I thought she did the right thing. I had angina pectoris. So much for now. This doctor was ready to give me a stent immediately after the CT scan, and I wouldn't let her, and only because I've had too much experience with hospitals. Doing the wrong thing and hurting my patients. Easily over one-third of my heart patients, the ones that actually got stem cells, had been harmed by their cardiologist one way or another. So I was lucky. I guess the good Lord gave me a break. Since I've been helping so many people, he helped me, and I didn't get my stent. Mr. Engineer, it's time for our close. Thank you for your help, and we'll see you all next week, Friday, September the 13th. Uh-oh, next Friday is September 13th, and our main subject is going to be functional medicine. And if you want a sneak preview, go to functionalmedicine.org, O-R-G, and see what we're going to be talking about and how functional medicine, the latest form of medicine that's growing faster than anybody realizes, marries well with the stem cell doctors. Mr. Engineer, bye-bye.
If you or a loved one suffers from a chronic disease, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to suffer, as the medical establishment may suggest. You definitely can have a better quality of life and prolong your years without chemicals, scalpels, radiation, anesthesia, and pills, and more pills. I'm Don Margolis, and I started the Repair Stem Cell Institute to make sure you have all the information you need about how this amazing therapy can help you. Visit our website, repairstemcells.org. and learn how stem cells can help improve your life. If you feel they are the best treatment path for you, simply fill out our no-obligation treatment request form and let us personally guide you through the process of finding the best stem cell doctors and centers in the world. At the Repair Stem Cell Institute, we are proud to say that we have already improved the lives of hundreds of patients. Contact us now and take an important first step toward improving your own life or the life of a loved one.